السلام عليكم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. والصلاة والسلام وعلى محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Dear beloved Muslims, highly praised and glorified is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The prayers and the peace be on Muhammad the Prophet, his companions, the righteous servants, all. Ameen. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. We openly bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is our Prophet, Allah's messenger and servant to mankind. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us on this day of Juma, and we ask Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continuously bless us and guide us on the right path. Alhamdulillah. Today on Juma, we'd like to speak a little about the development of the father from material to spiritual. And we know that here in the United States of America, you know, we are having what is called Father's Day, showing respect and regard for father. And Abu in Arabic language. And not too long ago, we were recognizing the mother, Umi, alhamdulillah. But if we don't really understand the significance of mother and father, then really I'm not going to say it's a waste of time, because definitely it's respect, but we have to understand, what does father represent? You say, well, that's my child, I'm a father, blah, blah, blah. But if he's not a protector and a provider, then really, technically, you can't see him as father, because that's the definition of what a father is. Abu, he's a protector and provider of his family, actually of his community and also his society. And when we recognize mother, you know, we came out of the womb of a mother quite naturally, but a Umi is a nurturer. Actually, the baby is nurtured inside of the womb. And then even when the child comes out of the womb, the mother continuously nurtures her child all throughout their life. Alhamdulillah. So Allah is giving us a sign, and Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is showing us that man is never without guidance. Allah never leaves us alone, in other words. So when he gives us these ideas for us to reflect on, alhamdulillah. So when we see Father's Day, celebrating Father's Day today, the first thing came to my mind was Father Adam. And we learned these lessons in the Quran, and Imam Muwahhid Muhammad, he spends a lot of time teaching us on the Quran and the understanding, deeper understanding, not the surface. He tried to take us even deeper. And he talks about Father Adam. And we know Father Adam is the father of all human life. And he was in the material sense. And he shows us also that in the start of our early development, that the material life is able to be manipulated. And quite nasty, Satan got into the picture, took Satan, Adam, out of his natural way of life and perverted him to the point where we see perverted human lives all over the planet. And then we see in that development, in the ascension of Prophet Muhammad, experiencing on seven different levels, then he comes to the second father on the top, right? On the seventh plane or the seventh level, Father Ibrahim, Abraham, as far as Christians is concerned. And this Ibrahim, he was spiritual. He had spiritual direction based on logic. You know, he was like a scientific logic and reason, right? So he elevated from the material to the spiritual. So what is this picture all about? It's an example of history, yes, but it's also an example of where we are going. We started out in the material sense. We have big material appetites for cars and clothes and food and all the rest of these things, you know, which really holds us down. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends for us to reach that spiritual height. where we use our rational mind, where we're scientific in our thinking, you know, where we use our five senses and whatnot to evaluate God's creation on a much higher plane. So these are, Allah gives us this as a father. And then he also gives us a personal father, alhamdulillah. And that personal father, if he's learning the lessons and he properly understands, then he's going to guide us and help us in our development. Prophet Muhammad was an example. He's an example for all human life. When we call the Adhan, we're calling the people to come to prayer, come to cultivation. In that cultivation, the life example of Prophet Muhammad, he was cultivating the human life from the material existence where he found them to the higher example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants for each and every one of us, spiritual. And when an individual is material and spiritual, then know that individual is balanced. And that's the whole thing, human life, balanced life, right? Just like a tree, it grows up out of the ground and it's reaching up towards the heavens. And at some point in time, it comes into its balance. And even if it looks out of balance to us, one branch will go out and balance out the other side, and it stays in balance. This is a lesson, a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Prophet Muhammad was taught, he taught this example doing the spiritual elevation into the heavens. Prophet Muhammad was taught that. And then when he went to the heavens, did he stay in the heavens? No, he was a father also. He was a ummi first. They call him the ummi prophet. Matter of fact, he was a nurturing prophet. Ummi means mother. So we said, why would you call the Prophet Muhammad mother? Because he was a nurturer. He was nurturing the human soul, the human spirit, etc. So when he went to that position of the seventh step in heaven, then he had to come back. As it was in heaven, so should it be in earth. Some went up and stayed up. They're still up there trying to figure things out. You're not going to figure things out on this earth if you're in a spiritual. If you're in a spiritual, you have to come back to earth to understand the lessons that you learned from that spiritual elevation. So Prophet Muhammad, he came down. And Allah shows us in the whole history of Prophet Muhammad, which is a beautiful history, a beautiful picture. And those of us who study the life of Prophet Muhammad, we have to study the life, the whole life that is given to us, not just when he received the revelation, but the whole life from the time he was born, if we're really going to get the true message. And we might not get it right away, quite naturally we won't. But if we have that information in our heads, then eventually when we come to a circumstance, something triggers inside of our brain and gives us back that information that we have already studied. But if it's not there, then quite naturally you're not going to get it. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was born to his father. His father's name was Abdullah, right? And Abdullah, actually, he never met his father. His father died before he was born. So right away we say, hey, he's left without a father. He left without a nurturer. And then he had a mother. His mother's name was Amina. And Amina, she raised him the best way she could. And she died when he was a young boy. So we say, oh, Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's left without the guidance. But keep in mind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never leads us or leaves us without a nurturer and a protector and a provider. If we are truly sincere believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we know that during the time of Prophet Muhammad, his father passed away, his mother died when he was a small boy, and then his grandfather stepped into the picture and took over the responsibility. Actually, it was his grandfather, I believe, that named him Muhammad. And this was a name that Arabs never heard of before. They knew Hamed, but they didn't know Muhammad. And the grandfather named that. Was he a Muslim? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired that name in the grandfather. And he cared for Prophet Muhammad as if he was his own child. And the mother, before she had passed away, as far as the nurturing is concerned, she would take little Muhammad out into the desert amongst the Bedouins. And the Bedouins was ones that lived a difficult life, a hard life. They would travel throughout the desert looking for water, pastures, and things of that nature. And they would hire themselves out. And he had a wet nurse. And he had a wet nurse, and her name was Halima. Halima, right? It's just like our parents. Most of us are from the South. And when we come up north and we act up a little bit, where did they send us? They sent us back down south, right? So those grandparents could handle us, could take care of us and nurture us. And when they get finished with us, they send us back in the north. And many of us do pretty well. Alhamdulillah. So she had a wet nurse, Halima. And Halima cared for Prophet Muhammad just like a mother, a nurturer would. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was providing for him all of the days of his life. And alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quite naturally is the best knower. And then when the grandfather, Abdul Muttalib, who was an elderly man, passed away, remember he wasn't a Muslim, but he loved little Prophet Muhammad, or Muhammad at that particular time. And then later on, when he became a prophet, his uncle, Abu Talib, who was not a Muslim either. He was a pagan. He was of the Quraysh tribe, a big individual in the Quraysh tribe, but he wasn't a Muslim. He protected Prophet Muhammad from harm, etc. And then before he even died, he never accepted the religion of Islam, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with Prophet Muhammad in his care. And he protected Prophet Muhammad, the whole life of Prophet Muhammad. Alhamdulillah. Now we say, some people say, well, he's gone to the hellfire, whatever the case. We don't know. We leave that in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. But the point here is to show that Allah never left Prophet Muhammad without a protector and provider and without one to nurture him. Alhamdulillah. And this is the example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us for each and every one of us who is a believer. And if we study our life, we'd be able to see it. It might be our brother, it might be our sister, uncle, might be friends, etc. We don't know. And even in the life of Prophet Muhammad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him another ummi, a nurturer, right? And this nurturer was his wife, Khadija. And Khadija, he had married at the age of 25, and she was 40, right? And she was a businesswoman. She had wealth. And she hired him as a worker. And he did so well in his work that she even not only made him a business partner, but she also proposed to him in marriage. And he married her, right? Khadija. She helped him along. She took care of him financially, etc. She taught him business skills and things of that nature. You say, oh, I thought that men had dominance over the woman. Well, no, not in Islam. That's crazy idea, Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us all of these examples in the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he lived with her until she passed away. You see, he had one wife at that particular time, and that was Khadija, who he loved very much. Alhamdulillah. How did she nurture him? She nurtured him in business. She nurtured him in how to conduct his business, etc. Alhamdulillah. She was a ummi. His father, the men in his life, was Abu. And Abu was protector. They protected the life, and they provided for the life. So now if we understand that today as Muslims in our society, in our life, and right now today, especially us African Americans, what is our responsibility as a father? We are a Abu, a protector and provider. And sometimes when people want to keep us down in the society, they make sure that there's drugs and alcohol and crime and prisons and things of that nature to break up the family. So if you take the man out of the family, then that means the child is not going to be protected and provided for. And if the mother is there without the man, then her nurturing skills are going to be distorted. And then we see we stay in that same position over and over and over. We celebrate Father's Day, but you know, we buy flowers and cakes or Mother's Day or whatever the case might be. But the real Father's Day, the real Mother's Day is to understand what the purpose is of a father and a mother. And Allah, quite nasty, is the best knower. And then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was blessed with close friends, close relationships. Abu Bakr being one. He was the first Khalifa. He was a friend of childhood friend and a confidant of Prophet Muhammad. He would talk to him. He could come to him for concerns and things of that nature, right? See, because even after his parents and his loved ones, his uncles and all the rest of these people passed on, he still had close friends, right? And these people put their trust and belief. They understood. They were Hanifa. Hanifa means that they never accepted the pagan religion. They didn't know Allah. Quite naturally, Prophet Muhammad didn't know him. But they never accepted that pagan idea of God, that they put an object before themselves and pray, and that object would take their prayer to Allah. So they had pure heart. They had pure intention. They weren't introduced to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, as yet. And then he also gave him a close relative, his cousin, Ali. Ali was very close to him. He was also a confidant. When Prophet Muhammad needed their assistance and their guidance, etc., they were always there. He put their trust. So what am I saying? I'm saying on this beautiful Father's Day in the life of Prophet Muhammad, on this beautiful Mother's Day, he had what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to each and every one of us. Now, quite naturally, he gave it to Prophet Muhammad, and Prophet Muhammad being a model of excellence for all human beings, so if he gave it to Prophet Muhammad, it was also intended for each and every one of us. So this is why I say reverence the wombs that bore you. Reverence the wombs that bore you. Respect for family life. Respect for human life. And if we do, then we'll see that the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desire for each and every one of us is all around us. Honor your neighbors. Respect your neighbors. That's in the hadith. Prophet Muhammad would show respect for his neighbor, his next door neighbor. Was it his family? Was it his blood? Was it his nationality? Not necessarily, but his neighbor was very important, not only being his neighbor, but also for his life development. The neighbor's garbage can is out in the street in modern times. You pick it up and you put it back in its place. It's a responsibility that we have. We're helping that individual to nurture their lives. We're helping that individual to be a protector and provider of his property and his family. And once we begin to understand the importance of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to us, we'll show deeper and more respect for our fellow man. So, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. So when we look at this Father's Day today, it's not only our flesh and blood father, but all men in the world who represents the dignity and respect of a man that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put upon this earth is our father. Just study the nature. Study his human nature, all the same. Some of us are big. Some of us are small. Some of us have nappy heads. Some of us have straight hair. Some of us white. Some of us yellow, brown. Same nature. Can't get away from it. And once we begin to understand these things, as our father Ibrahim did when he ascended to the seventh step, he began to use his rational mind. He began to use logic and reason. And he discovered these things by that logic and reason, because he was looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation, evaluating it, and coming to conclusions. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And when our Prophet Muhammad ascended to that position, he came back down and applied those same lessons on earth for our benefit today. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, quite naturally, is the best knower. Kul hu Allahu ahad. Allahu samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Second part of the khutbah will be brief. And also, we would like to offer dua, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless the human family all over the earth with health, with free of disease and things of that nature. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless men to protect their families, look over the wives, the children, etc., and make us to be a more productive family life on this planet Earth. Second part of the khutbah, and we know that today is tomorrow or Sunday is Father's Day, but we also have another day that we're celebrating in these United States of America, 400 years after slavery, which is called Juneteenth. And Juneteenth is the recognition of freedom from slavery for African Americans in these United States of America. Alhamdulillah. We should have known that already. We shouldn't have had to wait this long to understand that we were free from slavery. I believe it was 1865. And I think it was sometime later that they discovered they were still enslaved in Texas, I believe. Galveston, Texas, I believe it was. And they discovered that they were free. And that was a day they called Juneteenth. And this is the time we celebrate it, if I'm not mistaken. But we also go back in the history of Prophet Muhammad. We Muslim, we study, we parallel, we see an incident, we look for it in our religion, in the Quran or in the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, in the Sirah of Prophet Muhammad, the life or story of Prophet Muhammad. And we know that there was an individual, very key individual, who was also a companion of Prophet Muhammad. It was Bilal ibn Rabah. He was a slave, a black slave from Ethiopia. And he was enslaved in Mecca. He was a slave, enslaved to the Quraysh. And it wasn't the same kind of slavery that we had. We were chattel slave or property slave. He was a servant slave. He would work for his masters. And at the end of the day, he was free to roam around whatever he did. And then at the time for him to serve his master, he had to serve his master. Then a certain time he would be free of that labor, and then he would filter back into the society as a free man. But chattel slavery, you were property. It means chattel, just like cattle. You were property of the owner. As a matter of fact, if the law didn't come about and the sensitivity of somebody's heart came about, we'd be slaves right now. Allah knows best. So what is the significance of the Juneteenth of Bilal ibn Rabah, if we want to put it that way? He was treated harshly, and probably also because he was black. And when we say black, we're talking about black. He was African. And then he had been introduced to Islam by one of the companions. And then he had become a Muslim, still a slave, but he was a Muslim, right? And the Quraysh, which were very harsh, especially on the black slave, very harsh. And they were trying to get him to reject Allah. And every time they would get him or ask him to reject Allah and the religion of Al-Islam, he would put up one finger and say, Ahad, Allahu Ahad. Ahad means one, right? That there is no God except God. Even to the point where they laid him out in the desert and put a big rock on his chest. Now just imagine. See, sometimes we got to use our imagination. The hot desert sand with a rock, a big boulder rock on his chest. And he still said, Aha, Allah is Aha, one. He is one. And then sometimes we look at these stories and Imam Muhammad, he teaches us to think deep. Don't just look on the surface. And then we can say with this stone, the heavy stone that he placed on his chest was enough for any human being to understand. But we could also see that he was placing the heavy logic on the chest of our dear brother Bilal ibn Rabah. And he wouldn't give in to that logic. Just as I mentioned earlier, Hanifa. He didn't go for idols and things of that nature. And he held to the principle of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadan Rasulullah. That was his Juneteenth. And then one of the companions of Prophet Muhammad bought out bought him out from slavery by paying off to his master, and then he was free to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the rest of his life. And not only that, the beautiful part of that picture was he became the muezzin. He became the caller to prayer. He was calling people to prayer all over the world. He stood up on the highest point and he said, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Now, if that was his position, what do you think our position is? We hold the same position right now. We're free. We're not free to go to the White House and beg or whatnot. We're free to go up on a high place and call the people to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So we have our Father's Day and we have our Juneteenth and we have these lessons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in the history of Prophet Muhammad and put all throughout the world society if we have the mind to search for these things. And quite naturally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best knower. So we thank Allah for blessing us and giving us the guidance. And I want to just make mention that the many heroes that we had in our lifetime as African Americans struggling in America, many of them have passed on. Many of them were assassinated for standing up for the rights, right? We have many. Many died off. Many opened up opportunities for us, for many of us, opportunity. We're standing on our forefathers. We're standing on our foremothers that came before us. So we have to recognize that fact and put our complete trust in Allah and Allah alone. So Juneteenth, how do I recognize or celebrate Juneteenth? By celebrating our heroes that came before us, who sacrificed before us, who died before us, also in the life of our Prophet Muhammad and all of those dignified men who nurtured the life of our dear Prophet Muhammad and giving him the opportunity to deliver the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him in the Holy Quran, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the guidance, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to remain on the straight path, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to deal with difficulties in our life and deliver that message calling people to the way of Allah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And quite nasty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best knower. Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullah wa barakatuh.